This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Wes Durham, legend. That was awesome. Enjoyed talking to him as we welcome you in. Hour two, college football betting guide dropped today. I don't know if you heard. Every show all week, once an hour, we're talking about the guide. And I got to be honest, Amal Shaw, I've never heard him with such superlatives about anything. We've worked together now, what, 5 years?
Yeah.
Here at VSIN. I've never heard you go off like you have on this college football betting, but it is legit.
Well, here's the thing. It depends on what type of information you're looking for. And I think this betting guide covers a variety of different things. If you're looking just specifically for gambling related content, you find that. But if you're looking for a breakdown of the team as well, it gives you that information. So you can make a decision on whether you think a team's going to win a league, a season win total. There's so much information in there, Patrick. And to the credit of everybody involved in putting the guide together, the information that's been gathered and the thing I think that made this guide the best of anyone, it came out in August. Everybody else is out in May and June, Patrick. And the problem with that is you don't have some of the late additions or subtractions from teams.
As you and Dustin know, I took a couple of days off in July. And somebody that hosted while I was gone was Jared Smith. Let me just say this, and Dustin Sweetelson knows this. I'm a big fan of Jared Smith. And I'll tell you why. You can find him at Jared Lee Smith, of course, the godfather of first innings. He's a great addition to VSIN, but it appears to me, as we say hi to Jared and a big time contributor to the college football betting guide, it appears to me that there's genuine positivity. That's the objective from Jared Smith, and I like it. I like the genuineness of your positivity. I like your vibe, bro, and it's nice to meet you officially. Thank you for sitting in and welcome.
I appreciate that introduction, Patrick. Honestly, the feelings are very mutual, and Dustin and I have had some really positive conversations about the overall vibe that you and I could synergize together. And I had a great time sitting in with Amal. Amal, you are incredibly complimentary of my style, and that's usually a lot of the feedback that I get sometimes. It's either I don't get any feedback at all or it's very negative. You guys were very, again, the positivity, spreading that positivity, because we do live in a very, unfortunately, sad society at times. So it's important to be a bright, shining light in what can otherwise be a pretty dreary situation.
I must have been drunk.
At Jared Lee Smith on Twitter, and I just want to say this, because I'm an old man, so I've seen a lot of people come and go, I don't want social media to beat you down. Keep the genuine positivity going. It's a great vibe. And you do a great job. The Nerfy stuff is awesome, and keep it going. Before we get into some of your picks from the guide, I don't want to give too much away and give everybody an opportunity to go download it. Can I ask you a question as a Penn State alum? Just give me your overall view on James Franklin, because I have opinions. What's your opinion of James Franklin?
So the Penn State group chat that I have with all of my fellow alums, usually we're trying to find an excuse to fire him every season. And I think if you kind of sift through some of the, you know, short-term negativity with losing the most important games of the year, which tends to be the MO with him every season, it's really hard to find another guy that I could see coming into that role and getting the type of players to come to Penn State University. Now, I think a head coaching role in college football these days is much more ceremonious. I think you have to have really smart people around you and really good coordinators. Penn State has been okay. They've hit or miss with some of those coordinators over the years. I really like what they have defensively now with Manny Diaz. I think that's the right fit for how to keep that Penn State defensive brand going. The question that's always surrounded Penn State over the years, and you can blame James Franklin or not for this, is they haven't had the quarterback to be able to separate them to get to that next level. I could argue that they've had teams over the last 10 years that were talented enough to be in the playoff or win a national championship, but it's the likes of Trace McSorley and Sean Clifford. And listen, I love those guys, all the heart in the world, but heart only gets you so far on the football field. So I think now that they have Drew Allar under center, we'll see if he meets the potential and what he was kind of billed at coming out of high school. If he can, the rest of the team is absolutely stacked, and they have had fantastic depth at a lot of key areas for years now, especially on the defensive side. But now offensively, skill position guys, the running back room is absolutely set. They've had some great additions in the wide receiver room over the last few years. And Stubblefield, the former Purdue All-American, doing a great job coaching that group. So I think it all revolves around the quarterback. And if Allar meets that expectation, I think Penn State's going to have a really good year.
Patrick, I just want to add in, as a Buckeye, I love the fact that Mike Yurcich and Manny Diaz are their coordinators.
Why are you hating? Why we just talked about positivity. Why are you hating?
I'm not hating. I'm going to tell you something. He
deserves to wear the crown. They've won a bunch of games over the years.
It's not that. Look, Penn State's a great, great program. When I grew up, Penn State was the gold standard, right? I mean, they won two national titles in the 80s. So all I'm saying is it's what's happened is, and people don't realize this, and Jared, you know this well, the population shift between Pennsylvania, Ohio, and some of these other states down to the South, it has really impacted, because Ohio State now, they don't get guys from Ohio. They get mercenaries from other states that just want to pipeline to the league. It's changed the dynamic of college football.
I really think we're going to, and we're in the larva stage of it now, two major super conferences in college football. The Big Ten is going to absorb half of the Pac-12. The SEC is going to absorb half of the ACC. And Penn State is going to be one of the, let's say, 10 or 15 schools that will have a chance to win a national championship every year based on the way that the current, you know, recruiting landscape, in addition to the conference realignment, it's all kind of, you know, terraforming into this new world that we're creating in college football, where the haves, the rich are going to get richer, and the have-nots, the poor, will get poor. And thankfully for us, Amal, you too, with Ohio State, our team is on the right side of that ledger.
9.5's the number. You do have to lay a price over at DraftKings on Penn State. My assumption is, Jared, you like the over there?
And the number feels fair. They're going to be favored in all 10 of the games that they should win. You know, all the games that obviously they're going to be favored in those games, but it's really the coin flip games. Can they steal one against Michigan or Ohio State? If you think the answer to that question is yes, you should absolutely bet the over. I'm more neutral on that question because I just don't know what Drew Aller is. It's like Schrodinger's cat. He could be fantastic, but he also might need a year or two of kind of marination before he becomes a feature, you know, all-star type caliber quarterback. So I would say the price is fair. You're basically paying for Penn State to win all 10 games that they're going to be favored to win this year against subpar opponent.
Patrick, real quick to add, I just don't see a third loss on the schedule for Penn State. And they're still very, very capable of winning in Columbus or beating Michigan. Because you mentioned we don't know what Drew Aller is. Well, we don't know what Kyle McCord and Devin Brown are for Ohio State either.
That's why I think Penn State is upside to win the conference. Like, to me, the volatility is high upside, low floor with Drew Aller, and they're the cheapest of those three teams you mentioned. We don't know what Michigan. I mean, I think we know a little bit more about J.J. McCarthy, but I didn't like what I saw down the stretch. And we don't know what we're going to see with Ohio State. We don't know what we're going to see with Penn State in terms of the quarterback situation. That's why the upside, I think, is a little higher, and you're getting a better number with Penn State. So I think that makes sense. I would bet the over. I would definitely not bet the under here. And I think they've got maybe a coin flips chance to steal one of those games against Ohio State or Michigan.
So you guys know this. My vacation was in Michigan. I went back to see family. The gas right now for Michigan football, I mean, it is, Amal, it is out of control. Like, and J.J. McCarthy, all of a sudden, he's Drew Henson. We look him up, kids. Drew Henson was the biggest recruit. Remember, Drew Henson started over Tom Brady at Michigan. But, I mean, J.J. McCarthy, and I'm more in line with Jared. I'm not huge now. They do have a great run game, and the team is tough. But this is the gas that's going on right now, Amal Shaw, for Michigan football. It's actually annoying.
Well, think about this, Patrick. You grew up in the area. There has never been a time where Michigan's been good for a long time. You look at consistently the Rich Rod years and the Hoke years, they went down a little bit. But where Detroit, the Lions, and Michigan at the same time were both very capable. Look, I'm not saying Michigan's got the best talent, but I think Michigan, with the schedule on the road at Penn State, toughest game, the home game against Ohio State, the Wolverines are best poised to win the national title. It's whether J.J. McCarthy, who's got $1 million talent and $10 ability, if he can put it together.
The gas is real.
I'm high.
They're gassing them up, Jared. Are you? Sorry to interrupt you, but where are you with Michigan right now?
I'm high on the roster. I think all three of these quarterbacks are all very much wild card. From all I heard, and I didn't watch the spring game, but I follow some people who do. J.J. McCarthy certainly looked shaky in that game. I don't want to read too much into a spring game, but I think the overall eye test on him is exactly what Amal said. I mean, he's got all the talent in the world, but execution at the quarterback level when things are moving very fast, especially when you're facing defenses that are at the highest level, he's going to be able to do it against UNLV and Bowling Green and Rutgers. But then you go to Happy Valley and then you have to go play Ohio State. And those guys are flying around the field with, first round defensive linemen and, first round cornerbacks covering those receivers. So it's just, it's a different animal when you actually get to that level playing fast. I think JJ showed it at the lower levels of college football last year, but when he kind of had to manage up, that's where we saw a little bit of the miscommunication and some of the breakdown. So which of these three quarterbacks on these three very talented and deep rosters can reach up and have that season? I'll be honest, I don't know which one it's going to be. Because of that uncertainty, I'll take the better number with Penn State and hope that, you know, my alma mater can get across the finish line, steal one of those games, maybe get into the Big Ten championship game somehow based on a tiebreaker. But I think the rosters are all kind of right there, 1, 2, 3, and it's which one of these quarterbacks is going to play better, especially in those big games, in those key spots. That's going to make the difference in this Big Ten race.
This would be, let's bring the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, in. This would be a wonderful opportunity for you, Dustin Sweetelson, to give us your Blake Corum take.
It's very obvious. J.J. McCarthy is mid at best. This team has a lot of high expectations. They have a clear path to possibly get back to the playoff again. If they're going to do that, if they're going to be the team they look like they're capable of being, it's not going to be because of J.J. McCarthy. It's going to be because of Blake Corum. And Blake Corum, from all indications I've read, he feels healthy and as good as ever. They're going to hand him the ball 25 to 30 times a game, and he's going to run free against everybody.
Blake Corum's the second best running back in college football.
Go ahead. We'll play your game. We'll wait for it.
No, Braylon Allen at Wisconsin's the best running back.
Okay.
The only thing getting in my way is not J.J. McCarthy. It's the other running back on the roster for Michigan, Donovan Edwards.
Hold on. Keep the four of us up there downstairs, because you see the two of them, two handsome bearded guys. I want my weekend show with the Beard Bros, Jared Smith, Dustin Sweetelson, and Kelly Bidlin. I want 6 hours of the Beard Bros. We're back with Jared next. Sharp Money.
Is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Are you tormented by the transfer portal? I'll answer that. Yes. Coaching carousel got you confused? Let our 2023 VSIN College Football Betting Guide get you ready for the upcoming season. Jared Smith, who's joining us here on Sharp Money, he's a part of it, along with the rest of the hosts and experts here at VSIN. This year's College Football Preview Magazine includes season win total picks and previews for all 133 FBS teams, plus feature articles on how to create a power ratings model, calculate home field advantage, the mitigation is real, and who to bet on for the Heisman. Get Matt Heumann's preseason top 25, Steve Mackinnon, his top betting systems, and what you need to know to get ready for kickoff. The College Football Betting Guide is out now and is one of the many benefits to become a VSIN pro. So sign up now, VSIN.com/subscribe. Okay, we got you back here. Excited to have our buddy Jared Smith. He's a great addition to VSIN. Happy that he's joining us here for two segments. I'm Amal Shaw. We were having a conversation during the break a little bit more about Aller, and just I like the fact that you're realistic about Penn State and the quarterback. I will say we should set a number on James Franklin. Will he or won't he attempt to fight the student body? I think we'd have to set a like yes is -145. All I'm saying about Franklin, Jared, is he just amongst car salesmen and kind of snaky individuals in college football, Franklin feels like he's at the top of that heap.
I guess I'm just biased because of my roots, but every coach in college football, in order to get these kids at the level that we are at now with the all the NIL money and just the way that recruiting is in college sports today, I think you have to have a little bit of that sleaziness to you in order to just get your foot in the door at some of these spots, but you have to mask it well with some of the authentic niceness. I really do think he's a good fit for Penn State with what they are right now. And it's just because I don't know who else would coach that program to a higher level at this stage. I mean, they've won a bunch of New Year's Six bowl games over the last decade. Their recruiting class continues to be top 10. And yeah, they haven't gotten over the top against the two best programs, perhaps in college football, besides Alabama and Georgia with Michigan and Ohio State. But other than that, that's a pretty low, or I guess high bar for you to set. Like, we haven't beaten the two best teams, perhaps out of the top five in the country. But besides that, I think Penn State's right there in terms of national profile where you want your program to be.
Well put. This is dangerous, but Amal Shaw, I'll ask you for your snakiest head coach in college football.
Well, there's a lot, but I'll tell you.
Don't answer.
Let's just start. Let's just stay in the Big Ten. And I'll tell you what, it goes back to James Franklin. Some of the things that happened at Vanderbilt, he's got 4 11-win seasons, and I give him credit for that. But it's funny. The problem with Penn State is they play Ohio State and Michigan tight and tough, one out of two of those teams every year. But then there's a game against Iowa where you look up in the fourth quarter, Patrick, you never turned it on because they were a 17.5-point favorite, and you go, wait a minute, I better put that game on. It's fourth quarter. Penn State's down 3 points. What's going on here?
Correct. You've got your picks in the college football betting guide. You've got your best bets. I don't want to give them all away. So let's go to Reno and start with Nevada. We'll just give one here. And you're going to go over the four wins for Nevada.
Yeah, this Mountain West Conference is up in the air this year. And the one thing I like about Nevada's schedule is they avoid the teams that I perceive as the top teams in college or in their respective conference. They don't play Boise. They don't play Air Force. They don't play San Jose State. Now, they start with USC. That's probably going to be a loss. But then two very interesting games against Kansas and then Idaho. They're going to beat Idaho. The one against Kansas is interesting. In Reno, it's a night game. We'll see what Kansas has this year. I think they were a little bit overvalued last year and won some games that they probably should have lost. The quarterback situation, I think, is a little more settled. Last year, it was Shane Illingsworth, who's an Oklahoma State transfer, splitting time with Nate Cox. Neither of those guys found their footing. Cox is now out. It's going to be Illingsworth, probably the full-time guy. And the one thing I really like, head coach Ken Wilson starting to bring in some of these Pac-12 vibes that he had. He was the co-defensive coordinator at Oregon during those, really good years with the Ducks. Last year, his first year as Nevada head coach, after Jay Norvell leaves, it was just a minefield with the Wolfpack. He was really trying to get his footing. Now he's brought in a couple of key Oregon transfers, Dollars, the running back who had a little bit of run last year with the team, and a couple of linebackers. So I think the running back group's going to be improved. I think the linebacker group's going to have some depth this year if they can get some, some solid play from Illingsworth at the quarterback position. Phil Steele's got him as bowl eligible and over half of his ratings this year, and we only need to get 5 wins for this bet to hit. And I think last year, if you look at their tight games, they probably should have maybe won 1 or 2 more games than they did. They only won 2 all year, and they started 2-0. But I think year 2 under Ken Wilson is going to be a little bit smoother sailing. I think 5, even 6 wins, very reasonable for the Wolfpack this year.
Amal Shaw, go ahead. Just to quickly say, what Norvell started to get going there in Reno was pretty special. 4 straight winning seasons. And when he bailed for Colorado State, it was like a gut punch.
Well, he took half the team with him, right?
Like legitimately.
Yeah.
He literally took everybody.
He took everybody from UNR down to the fort. And I'll tell you what, when you look at it right now, you mentioned Sean Dollars coming in from Oregon. I like him at the tailback position. One thing I would disagree with, just being facetious, but I don't remember Wilson's defense ever being that good at Oregon, but that's another story. To me, when I look at this team, 2-10 last year, a couple of swing games for them. I agree with you, they're going to beat Idaho. They're going to beat New Mexico. Can they get that win against Texas State? I think that'll be crucial to them getting 5 wins, Patrick. I just don't know if this team's got enough in them right now, where they're at overall. That's the one concern I have. The Mountain West is okay, but some of these teams like Colorado State, San Diego State, even UNLV will be an interesting with Barry Odom taking over. These are going to be swing games if UNR is going to get over 4 wins.
Now, Jared, I know that you wanted to discuss a little SEC football, but we started the ACC today here on Sharp Money, and I just want to ask you, it's essentially co-betting favorites in the conference with Clemson and Florida State. Amal is all in on Florida State this year. I from the guide, I see you're leaning a little more Clemson. Is that fair?
I think Clemson deserves that perch. I think their full body of work is probably a little bit stronger. Listen, Florida State, the upside is certainly there. And if Jordan Travis brings the heat, I don't know if there's a quarterback in the league that can match him, but Klubnik, I think there's some upside with him as well. We didn't really get the full picture last year. He was kind of, second fiddle to DJU, and then we started to get it at the end of the season, and what we got was good, but we'll see what happens when he gets the, the keys to the mansion there this season. But I obviously hold those two teams in very high regard compared to the rest of the conference. You want to say UNC's got a little bit upside with May at quarterback, but let's be honest, that roster is pretty grotesque at the defensive positions. And yes. I think Clemson and Florida State are going to battle it out. That'll probably be a toss-up game in the ACC championship game, but I'll give the slight edge to Clemson based on their experience.
In the SEC, anybody else that jumps out to you besides Georgia and Alabama, or are you not on board with Alabama, maybe LSU?
I like LSU this year, and I think, you know, it's fair to say that Alabama is still going to be really good. I think relative to what we expect Alabama to be, they're not going to meet those expectations. And I'm really high on Jane Daniels, where I'm not really high on Alabama's quarterback situation. We don't really know who it is at this point. We think it's going to be Milrow, but Nick Saban's kind of been, you know, doing the whole three-card Monty with us over the last month or so. And they've got to replace both OC and DC. So the continuity in Baton Rouge is pretty solid. You know, you get Coach Kelly coming back for another year, and the upside on Jane Daniels, I think he's a Heisman candidate. And that game's in Tuscaloosa for LSU. I think that's obviously going to be a challenge, and they're probably going to be underdogs in that game. But if I have to close my eyes and, you know, picture who's going to be down, I think the SEC Championship's in Atlanta this year. I forget where they're playing. It's probably in Atlanta. If I close my eyes and, you know, flash forward to that date, I see a rematch between Georgia and LSU in that game.
The idea that Brian Kelly could get Jaden Daniels to perform, to me, just tells you the guy's brilliant. Because I watched Jaden Daniels before he transferred them all, and I just didn't think he was that dude.
Well, I was about to say, being high on Jaden Daniels like being high on fentanyl. It's probably not recommended, but the reality of it is 17-3 last year, touchdown to INT ratio. You're right, Brian Kelly was the key cog in him getting things turned around. I'm going to tell you right now, Jaden Daniels, when he got to Arizona State, thought he was still playing against guys from San Bernardino. He realized there's actually guys that can play in the Pac-12. But he's going to be key, and Jared said it best, which is, can they win in Tuscaloosa? That's what it's going to come down to.
It is. Well, listen, Jared, you can check out all his picks. The College Football Betting Guy dropped today. I only gave you one of his best bets. He's got plenty in there, so make sure you download it. You can find the father of first innings, of course, on Twitter, at Jared Lee Smith. You keep doing you, bro. I'm a fan. Keep doing you. Stay authentic, okay? Appreciate you.
Love you, bro. Be well, guys. Okay. Appreciate you having me.
Thank you very much. Brings a different vibe to the network, and that is needed. We appreciate Jared Smith. Okay. He's got a bunch of picks. I'll just say this. He does like LSU a lot, because I'm taking a look at his layout of the SEC. Brian Kelly getting Jaden Daniels. I watched Jaden Daniels. I can't remember. Arizona State played. Who'd they play in the bowl game at Allegiant Stadium? Maybe it was Wisconsin.
It was Wisconsin.
Yeah. Oh, he was a freaking disaster. Like, when I tell you he looked lost, he was terrible. And Brian Kelly brings him in. Brian Kelly's a hell of a coach.
He really is. But it's not fair when you got to play whiskey in a bowl game. Wisconsin, for the last three decades, is one of your best bet-on teams when you go to a bowl game.
Go ahead, big guy. I see you chomping at the bit.
I love LSU this year. Love them. I love them almost as much as
Not as much as Washington. Not as much as Washington.
So you know what that means. Roll Tide.
Hall of Fame game. We're going in on the Browns with Zach Jackson, The Athletic, next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money. We're going inside the Hall of Fame game tonight. Of course, the Jets and Browns. We're going to start with the Browns and bring in Zach Jackson, The Athletic Browns beat writer. Nobody knows these teams more intimately than those that are on the beat. It's a grind, but they get to know these teams. We say hi to Zach. Zach, thank you for joining us here on Sharp Money. Before we get to tonight and what to expect from the Browns, let's pull back expectations from the fan base. 7-10 last year, failed to qualify for the playoffs for the second straight year, but the books are bullish on the Browns. The win total set at 9.5. What are the expectations there this year in Cleveland?
They're guarded. You know, people that are still along for this ride have been burned a lot. This is a talented team. You could make the case it's the most talented team, certainly the most cash spent on the roster of any team, and you expect Deshaun Watson to be better. I know Deshaun Watson is going to be better. I can't answer how much better, and I don't think the guys that get paid to run the team can either at this point, right? But they went and got Za'Darius Smith. All their best players are in their primes. You know, this is a home game tonight. There's a lot of excitement around this Browns season. You knew Joe Thomas was going in, right? You knew Deshaun was eligible, could be there the whole time. On a Friday night in May, they traded for Smith. They spent a bunch in free agency again. Now, that was chasing their previous mistakes, but they're pretty good. They got a chance to be pretty good, but I'm guarded, and I think the fan base is too.
Zach, I want to ask you, you mentioned Za'Darius Smith comes over. He was with the Packers. He had 10 sacks last year, last four seasons. This guy's done a tremendous job in terms of production. I think 37 sacks during that stretch in 49 games. How much better can he be? But then on the flip side, how much does he help playing with Myles Garrett?
Well, I mean, they should make each other better, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't double either. You certainly can't double both. Jim Schwartz, the new defensive coordinator, is here to first get these guys organized because last year was kind of a mess. But his specialty is pass rush and unlocking pass rushers. So Smith will move inside. Garrett will move all over the place. You know, right away in free agency, they signed Okoronkwo from Houston, who had, I think, 7 sacks in the back half of last year, just kind of getting a chance to play and let loose. He's a smaller guy. He's a designated rusher. Smith and Garrett are the starters. You know, Garrett's so good, guys. He's had 16 sacks in each of the last 2 years, and you kind of felt like it could be more. So, you know, a healthy Za'Darius Smith is what they're banking on. The last 2 years say that's not a sure bet. His track record says he plays for money. They traded him, and they redid the deal. He's playing for money. He's a free agent after this year. So it's not technically a one-year contract as far as the way the Browns structure the cap, but it is for Za'Darius hitting the market next offseason. So the Browns are counting on 10 sacks, maybe even more, from Za'Darius Smith.
Zach Jackson on the beat for the Browns Hall of Fame game tonight here on Sharp Money. Listen, that defense is going to get better, Zach. He is a big personality. I'm a Detroit Lions fan, so Jim Schwartz is somebody that I follow very closely. But Football Outsiders had that defense ranked 23rd last year. Schwartz, they're going to be more aggressive. He's going to have that defense better.
Well, they were an unorganized mess. They just were, and it wasn't just the Jets game. But they were so bad at defensive tackle that it just leaked to other areas. Teams were running on them and gashing them, and it was affecting other areas. Then they had the epic melt against the Jets. They had a couple other times where they just lost guys. But they have good corners. You know, Miles isn't the best defensive player in the league, but he might be the most talented, just raw talent. Go get him. Look at this guy. You can't believe he's a real human, right? So the pieces are there. They didn't invest in linebacker. Schwartz's defense doesn't call for that. They got some veterans coming back who they feel like can at least do the job. And if they stop the run a little better, and really, it's simple, guys. You know, the Browns are very analytics-driven, data-driven. They want to be advanced in everything. But the simple part is if Deshaun's better, they score more points. They turn those pass rushers loose, and then in the fourth quarter, they give it to Nick Chubb, who's still the best running back in the game.
You mentioned Nick Chubb. You got Jerome Ford backing him up now. Dimitric Felton behind him as well. How do you like this 2-3 combination? Because when you looked at Kareem Hunt, he was tremendous as a backup. Are these guys good enough to carry the mail when Nick Chubb is out of a series or so?
Ford is. He's completely unproven. He's the clear number two. What they're going to do at number three, I don't know. I think that starts tonight with Felton out there a little bit, with John Kelly out there a little bit. These are guys that have been around, played different roles. You know, the team likes Felton, I think, more than the average fan does. They wanted him to be a running back all along. They got really burned at injury last year at receiver. They had to move him around. He's not a super dynamic player, but he's a little guy. He's fearless. He's smart enough to play those spots. He can, you know, he can make your team and somewhere along the way make a play. Is he really going to make your offense better if you need him? No. But they think Ford can. They like his talent, and I do too. He just got very little game action because he was behind both Kareem Hunt and D'Ernest Johnson last year. So that's one to watch for the Browns and some of these veteran backs as we get to the end of the month. But, you know, Jerome Ford is a guy that is talented and, you know, probably should be drafting if you're a fantasy nerd at some point as you get late in that draft, because if Chubb would go down or if this offense really hits the gear that it thinks it can, then there's going to be chances, and Ford's a pretty good player.
Zach, are they going to keep feeding Chubb? And I'm asking you because his rush prop is 1225 this year. He rushed for 1525 last year. They gave him the ball over 300 times. I mean, as long as they keep feeding him the ball, that 1225, he's going to go over that total rushing.
Yeah, he should. Now, last year was the most carries that he'd had, right? And they still even pulled back at the end of the year because they were out of contention the last two games. The guy's unbelievable. He is the Browns are a high-maintenance team. That's why they had to go away for training camp. Nick Chubb is a low-maintenance superstar. Never makes a peep, never complains, shows up, wants the ball more, never gets tackled by the first guy. So, yeah, I mean, they're going to throw it more. They're going to be more open. But I don't think they're going to forget about Nick Chubb. I know they can't forget about Nick Chubb. We're going to see how it all evolves and how much they really run Elijah Moore into the backfield. But if they're winning games, he's going to crush that 1225.
Zach, when you look at the rotation tonight for quarterbacks, technically I see on the depth chart they've got Deshaun, Dobbs, and then Mondon, DTR. Should we expect to see a lot of Mondon, DTR? Are these the guys that are competing for third, or is it really Kellen Mond's job? Because how Dorian Thompson-Robinson can sniff an NFL roster at quarterback is beyond my explanation.
Have you watched Kellen Mond play?
Well, I don't know. Hey, I got to give you – I'm going to tell you something. You're absolutely right, and I watched him a lot at A&M, and he's terrible.
He's terrible.
But let me tell you, both of these guys would be tremendous bounce passers on the basketball court. They both have no business being on a roster anywhere.
So the plan for tonight is Mond the first half and DTR the second half, right? Okay. Yeah. And that will only be altered if something strange happens. Mond is not going to make the team unless he lights it up because they drafted DTR. They picked up Mond on waivers last year for nothing. And, you know, when you pay your starter so much, a record amount in this case, they went and got Dobbs because he's cheap, he's trustworthy, he's super smart, he's played. And then they would like DTR to be the long-term guy because he's cheap. He's a fifth-round pick. He's under contract for 4 years. So it's not a surprise that Mond is ahead because he's been here for 11 months now. And DTR is small. There's times it's really noticeable he's got to try to launch it. But he's sharp. You know, the offense fits both of these guys. And so, you know, I think DTR makes the team, and I think they probably do keep three just because of the importance of position. But going into tonight, you know, Mond's playing for his life. This is an audition for everybody. One team's already written him off. Several will probably after, you know, about 9:15 tonight. But he's playing for his NFL life. And then DTR's plan to kind of get his feet wet and try to keep it moving. Guys, the Browns want nothing to do with this game. They want to run the ball. They want to encounter some situations so they can work on the sideline communication and all that. They have a new special teams coordinator in addition to a new defensive coordinator. But their interest is in getting back to practice and getting Deshaun Watson the reps that he needs, and he needs them still, right? They have no interest in this game tonight. So I know people are listening. I can't believe the Browns were favored in this game most of the summer because I knew it would be Mond and DTR. But really, like, they just – who knows what crazy stuff's going to happen with these fourth stringers. But the Browns want to run it. They want to punt it and work on their punt team. They just don't want to get anybody hurt. And, you know, they'll be back at their facility tonight by the time the Jets even really load the plane. And that's what they want. They want back to work this weekend.
Patrick, first of all, I'm trying to recover from my standing eight count that Zach gave me.
Kalamon's the worst quarterback I've ever seen. I'm not being disrespectful. No. He just is.
Yeah, absolutely. He wasn't wrong in his comment. I walked right into that one. So it was a well-deserved straight shot. A great jab right there. But I got to tell you one thing, and I agree with him. We're taking the Jets and we're taking the under tonight. There's no way this offense is scoring with these two anemic quarterbacks.
No, Zach knows what he's doing because he just gave out the two plays, both the side and total. Take the Jets and go under the 33.5. Zach Jackson, great job, man. The Athletic. We'll talk to you during the year covering the Browns. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That's keep him up there. Hey, Dustin, keep that guy's number. We'll talk to him during the, because you could just, when he came.
Have you seen Kellen Mond play? Unfortunately, I did.
Amal, you know, nobody knows college football more. Kellen Mond, for hype and actual production, is the worst quarterback. Like, but every single year, and he was there for 20 years, and every single year we expected something from him and nothing.
I think Kellen Mond would be a great guy to go on a road trip with. He would never deviate his eyes off the road. He never looks off to the second receiver. He locks in nobody you've ever seen.
Primary
Mond. That's it.
That's what they called them. They called them growing up, primary mom. Look at the big guy. The big guy loved that line. Didn't you, big guy?
Tell me, he just told me basically to parlay the Jets with the under, and I think I'm doing it.
Dude, he said the Browns literally want nothing to do with the Hall of Fame game. We're back.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, for good reason, we've been shoving the college football guide down your throat. But remember, when you sign up to get the college football betting guide, also you get the picks and you get the tools. Easily sortable, follow host and guests. Samich sent over a bunch today with his popped ACL, or sorry, Dustin, Achilles. Who knew he was the injury police? Top VSiN experts leaderboard, introductory offer for $19. Got him to smile. VSiN.com/subscribe. Now, here's what betters, and especially if you're new, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the sports betting network. you're always looking for a tell. Whether it's poker, whether it's sports betting, you're looking for a tell. We just had Zach Jackson on, and he's on the beat for the Browns. It was more about the inflection and delivery of nothing. And I know this sounds nuanced, but follow me here. He said first, he said the Browns want nothing to do with tonight's Hall of Fame game. And then Amal asked a question, and he came back. He said, no, fellas, I need to tell you, they want to be on the plane before the game's over. They want nothing. And he added like three O's. When the beat writers, sometimes it's not a flashy name, so you don't think you're getting a good guess. Listen, they're close to the players. Yep. Like, they're around the teams incessantly. There is a familiarity that others nationally, you know, your Peter Kings and your Florios, they don't get what the beat writers get. So the reason we bring them on and the big guy books the beat is because you're getting an intimate look. They're at practice every day. So when he tells you his vibe on the Browns is Stefanski doesn't want to make the trip to Canton. I mean, I saw Dustin, literally, I watched Dustin go to his computer and parlay Jets and under. And I don't know why, Amal. I have no clue why I'm seeing 34 pop up on the total. I mentioned your last 10 Hall of Fame games, 29-3, under 30 points scored on average. And these are two teams that are going to be running the football tonight. I don't see why that's jumping up.
I would agree with you. I don't know why, but I also thought Dustin might have been checking the 2024 Heisman odds for Mike Somich coming off injury.
That's good. That kind of surprised me. It was so funny. Yes, Dustin likes to bet banged up Heisman hopefuls. That's his shtick. That is good. That is too funny. But you got the same read from him, right? Well, like the Browns. If you want to stay away from the game, go ahead. But
no,
certainly
but
don't bet on.
I'm going to play this one. Let's take a look at this because I was actually looking at this while you were talking right now, guys. Where would you come out? Dustin played the money line at -130. It's at -2. This is a Hall of Fame game. So remember one thing. If there was a scenario where the game came down to it, they would go for two for sure. Let's say the game was tied at 4. It would be 14-13. You'd have a team go for two potentially. So would you play the money line at -130 or would you lay the -2? I can tell you this. If it were a regular season game, I definitively would lay the two. But in the preseason, I have a little bit more hesitation just simply because of the way the game is.
And I'll couple that with this. Stefanski is married to numbers.
Yep.
And married to probability and married to, like, what I'm trying to tell you is the preseason matters less to Stefanski than it does to McVay. And you know the way McVay handles the preseason. Conversely, Saleh, big guy, I think he's done pretty well in the preseason. He's a meathead. He's about wins matter, banging heads. You know, creating momentum, positivity from winning a game. Like Stefanski's like, dude, I'm a numbers nerd. These games are irrelevant. Am I wrong, Dustin?
Robert Saleh, 5-0 in his career in the preseason. Straight up. He loves football that doesn't matter.
Hold on. I want to build on Dustin's point right now. And this is just more of a kind of a public address announcement to some of my friends.
All that doesn't matter. But, that's a good line too.
But the reason why is I get friends of mine sometimes. They love a game. But Patrick, you and I have talked about this at length off air. You could love a play. But until you actually go bet it, it's a different dynamic. And the reason why I bring that up is we see with the Baltimore Ravens, Robert Saleh, these are teams that win. And sometimes you're still like, should I go bet or should I go bet it? And it's hard sometimes to be very confident betting some of these preseason games. But I got to tell you tonight, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But I'm going down on the Jets and the under in this game.
I'm talking about personality. I'm talking about disposition. And I used to say this on the radio show, but Jim and John Harbaugh are probably in their 60s now. But when they get together with the family, they still get down to their whitey tighties and wrestle. You see what I'm trying to tell you? Like the reason that John Harbaugh never loses in the preseason is because his disposition is that of a Harbaugh. And the Harbaugh wrestle into their 60s, meaning they think it matters to win games that don't matter. Saleh, go ahead and watch the clip that NFL posted last year from Saleh during a game. F-bombs that would make Amal Shaw off the air blush. I mean, the guy could not stop. He was George Carlin, all right? And it was just like nonstop. He's just a football guy. Stefanski is a nerd. Nerds don't care about the preseason, big guy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the last time I heard somebody come on our show and have words come out of their mouth, and immediately I knew I needed to place a bet.
I agree.
I can't, like, we have some of the sharpest people on this show. We've had a lot of great guests with a lot of great information. I've never had a moment on this show since we've been doing it since the end of February where somebody literally just says, this team doesn't even want to play the game. They don't want to be here. This is, you're messing up their preseason by making them play a game right now.
This would be a quicker bet for me on the Jets or the under than if we had Jalen Pickett on this show from Penn State.
I just look, the Browns can't afford to not be healthy going into the season. It's a pivotal year for them.
Remember, guys, for people that may not be aware, they play the one extra game because they have the Hall of Fame game. So you are playing four preseason games compared to everybody else's three. They don't have much travel here. And he mentioned it, and I thought Zach made a great follow-up point, Patrick, which was he said the Browns need to get Deshaun Watson back in practice and get real reps. This, you know, I'll tell you one thing. Greg Popovich used to say this about the preseason all the time. He goes, the goal is just to literally get nobody hurt.
It's a charade.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. No, I'll put a pin in that, and we'll open the show tomorrow and watch the Browns win by 10.
Browns 34-7 victors.
DTR's just playing backyard football, just running across everyone.
But you know what?
Hey, I got a bunch of
– go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Amal.
No, I was just going to say, I can remember in Hall of Fame games in the past that I've watched, man, you can see the third and fourth string quarterbacks and the wide receivers are just never what appears to be on the same page. I mean, it's just a tough scenario. And then it's like, it feels like fullback dive. Guys, let's go with almost a running quarter situation.
I've got so much randomness to ask you guys in my notes, and we've got Vinny coming up. So why don't we get to some of it here? One, the Jets, who will play tonight in the Hall of Fame game, they're going to be followed around by cameras. If I were to ask you both, scale of 1 to 10, your care level about Hard Knocks at this point, we're 2023. Like, are you guys interested? Maybe Amal is because of his investment in Aaron Rodgers, but like, where are you guys as far as care level on Hard Knocks this year?
It would be the equivalent of MTV Real World 2023. Is it still around? I mean, does anybody care?
It's same formula, plug and play, right, big guy?
Yeah, you know, there's still a lot of women that I haven't seen that are naked on the internet that I would like to see before I watch Hard Knocks.
So the answer, the answer to that question for me would be a one.
Here's what I'll say. Okay. I always watch the first episode, and then I watch the second. I don't always make it to the third.
Yeah, but you're kind of here's what Dustin is. Dustin is, if it's happening in pop culture and he's missing the conversation on social, if it's in the zeitgeist, Dustin gets involved. Like, for example, watch. I'll play a little game. I don't know the answer to this, but there's a quarterback show on Netflix following around Mariota, Cousins, and some other donk.
Like Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The best donk of all time.
Stupid.
I named the two donks and left out the best of all time. Anywho. Here's my point, and Amal, you'll agree with me. There are so many options in life. The idea that I'm loading up Netflix to watch a dumb formulaic quarterback show, it's over my dead body. But watch, I'll play a game. I don't know the answer. Dustin, have you watched an episode of whatever the quarterback show is on Netflix?
It's fantastic.
No, that's why he's a Cousins fan. I will tell you, Dustin mentioned it. I watched about 20 minutes of this. And I was like, my God, this might as well be an infomercial for these three guys. I was out in 20 minutes.
No, you know what they're going to do? They're going to sign a contract that allows these guys to follow them in their worst moments. And all these bad things happen. And they show them doing drug deals and robbing banks. Yeah, that's what's going to happen on that show.
Have you ever seen ratings on crime? Hey, let me tell you, I worked in newsrooms. If it bleeds, it leads. Okay, there's a reason for it.
I'm going to leave that alone.
Please.
I just want to revisit me calling Cousins and Mariota legit and Mahomes the donk on the show. What I was just trying to say is I have no clues on it. I know the big story today I saw on social was like, who are the next three quarterbacks on the show, correct?
Yeah, I believe Joe Burrow is one of them, and I'll look up who the other are in the break. Oh. Daniel Jones is one, and there's one more.
I want Kellen Mond, so when he gets cut, where is he going to apply for a job? I want to know what's next.
Have you seen Kellen Mond? Great delivery.
It was great.
Vinny Maliulo next.